till you kind of get more apprehensive as a meeting goes on. When the Lord, when you're in the third service and the Lord blessed the first two, you think that we hope that we don't stop praying, hope that we don't stop depending upon the Lord, hope that we don't quit understanding that the same grace that we needed for the first two services, we need it even more now. So please be praying for us. If you have your Bibles with you, I'd like to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. This has been a sermon or a subject that has been a lot on my mind lately. I know I need it. I need to be constantly reminded of it. I've tried to preach on it a lot lately. It comforts me. I love what it says here. This is my weight loss verse. This is my temptation verse. This is my bad day verse. This is my I'm not giving up verse. And if the Lord blesses, I hope it, if it's not all that, already that to you, I hope it is, I hope it will be. Now, before we get to the 13th verse, I just got to go to the 12th verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. It says, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." I love what it says there. It says, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth." It doesn't say, "Wherefore, let him that standeth take heed lest he fall." It says, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." We, you know why it uses the word thinketh there? Because he ain't standing. There ain't a one of us in here that's standing. You know what we're doing? We're being held up. We are being held up. You know why? Because over in Psalm 145, verse 1, it says, "Blessed be the Lord, my strength." Not some of my strength, but my strength. I'm going to tell you, whenever we start to think that we're doing something, watch out. And whenever I start getting haughty, you better watch out and just make a wave, okay? Because whenever I fall, things shake. I mean, they do. And I'm going to tell you, any time that I start thinking that I got the monopoly on humility, or I got the monopoly on love, or I got the monopoly on servitude, or how to be a pastor, guess what happens? Boom! And any time one of us thinks that we got it figured out, boom. "Wherefore, he that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall." I tell you, I made a point last night in a sermon, and a brother came to me and said, I never seen that before. That's a great point. And I told him, I said, it's not original me. Actually, the person that I stole the point from is an excluded minister. He fell. I learned so much from that brother, but he fell. "He that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall." I don't want to fall, do you? So we need to understand the only reason we're standing or thinking we're standing, because God is holding us up. And we need to thank God. "God, thank you for holding me up today. Lord, hold me up tomorrow. Lord, hold my children up." And it says this. I love this verse. "There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man." And whenever I explain what this means sometimes, I realize sometimes I can come off as kind of looking, reducing somebody's suffering or temptations or trials that they're going through. And I don't mean to do that, but what I want to show you, we all go through the same stuff. That's what this is saying. But you know, whenever we're going through it, no matter what, I could have just seen Brother David go through it, and then I go through it. Brother David's wasn't like mine. You know, I mean, like if my toe gets cut off and Brother David's toe get cut off, I'd be like, "Yeah, but mine bled longer. I got bigger toes." You know, I mean, Brother David, you just don't understand how I felt. You know, I mean, people were talking about, "Oh, the COVID is just like a light cold." Not mine. Not mine. Not my second one was, but not my first one. But my whole point is, we all want to feel special, don't we? I mean, we don't want like if we're going through a hardship, and we don't want somebody to be like, "Oh, I've been through that." We're like, "No, mine was special." But look what it says. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But I'm not belittling somebody's suffering, because your worst suffering is your worst suffering. Your worst pain is the worst you've ever felt. And it's hard to you. I'm not belittling, but we need to get over self sometimes. You know why Satan attacks us with pain? You know why he attacks us with mental pain? You know why he attacks us with spiritual pain? You know why he attacks us with physical pain? Because pain takes our eyes off of the Lord. It takes our eyes off of helping everybody else. And it puts our focus on us. And I want you to understand, we all go through the same stuff. And what helps us get through it is when we keep our eyes on the Lord. And it says this, there hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. And this is my favorite part. But God is faithful. Now, this temptation there, it is adversity. It could be adversity that you brought on yourself. It could be adversity that somebody else brought upon you. It could be a persecution of Satan. But I'm going to tell you, it's an experience of adversity is what it is. It's a trial. It's a persecution. I mean, it can be all of that stuff. But we understand what it means to have adversity. There hath no adversity. There hath no problem. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful. Don't we love to preach about the faithfulness of God as that great King? I mean, what's the message that the gospel preacher, according to Isaiah 52, is supposed to be telling people? Notice how it talks about how beautiful are the feet of them on the mountains. And why do they got beautiful feet? Because they got a beautiful message. And what does it say they're supposed to say to Zion? Thy God reigneth. Amen. You know what that means? Your God that you feel in your bosom, that you have a personal relationship, He has all power. You're good. Amen. I'm going to tell you, the Bible said, Betty Wisner reigneth. I'm good. Yeah. I'm good. Every birthday she makes me beignets and gumbo. I'm good. She loves me. I ain't got nothing to worry about. But my God, who loves me, and I love Him, and I have a personal relationship with Him, He reigneth. He has all power. I'm good. We love to talk about the faithfulness of our King. Amen? Amen. How about the faithfulness of our Father, who will not let one of His little ones depart from Him in an eternal sense? How about the faithfulness of the husband, Jesus Christ, who we preach about? Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. We love to preach about the faithfulness of Christ as that faithful husband who gave Himself for us so that we can live with Him in glory forever. Amen? Amen. We love that. Don't we love to hear about the faithful shepherd who says, I'm not like the hireling. The hireling lets wolves kill sheep. I lay down my life for the sheep because I'm a good shepherd. And ain't one of them perish. Because not only are they in my hand, they are in the Father's hand.
Right.
Ain't nobody got power to defeat us. Don't we love to talk about the faithfulness and our eternal salvation? I'm going to tell you, there's a faithfulness of God involved in our temptations.
Mm.
You get that? Over in 2 Timothy 2, it says, if we believe not, yet he who is faithful, he cannot deny himself. What that's saying there, even if you don't believe in Him, He can't deny Himself. He's in you. You're in Him. He's your husband. He can't deny that He's your husband. He can't deny that He's your father. He can't deny that He's your brother. He can deny you some comfort and some peace and some joy in this world, but He can't deny His relationship with you. And the Bible teaches, even if you don't believe, He can't deny Himself. Because He's in you, and you're in Him, and you are part of His body. And for Him to say that He didn't know you, or to cast you aside, would be saying that He didn't know Himself, and casting Himself aside.
Amen.
So we love to hear about that. But I'm going to tell you, I believe in the faithfulness of God in my temptations as much as I do in my salvation. Look what it says here. I want you to get this. I don't know if I already opened that one.
Yeah.
I get two. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful. Listen how faithful God is. But God is faithful. Who will not suffer you. He will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able. He will not allow you to go through something that you're not able to bear. He didn't say that you're going to live through it. He said he's not going to allow you to go through something that you're not able to bear. By the way, this scripture does not say God doesn't put upon you more than you can bear. That's not what it says. This says he will not allow you to go through something that you are not able to bear. What we don't understand is what we can do through Christ. I'm going to tell you, some of y'all knew her, Sister Wanda Michaels, up in northern Indiana. You went in there and seen her, didn't you, before she left this world? Biggest grin on her face you ever seen. This sister, she had cancer 3 times. Third time, cancer ate all the way through her bones. They thought it was a rash and realized it had ate through her bones. And they was trying to get her to take morphine, but everybody was coming to see her. And she didn't want to take the morphine because she didn't want to be sleepy when everybody came to see her. And whenever you came to see her, she had this smile on her face like, I'm about to go somewhere that's the most beautiful, glorious place. I'm going to Hawaii times 1,000, and y'all got to stay here. It was just like, I'm telling you, her bones were ate up with cancer. But the Lord gave her a grace. The Lord was faithful to her. She didn't survive the cancer, but she got through it. Amen. I'm going to tell you, as we go through life, we need to be like those faithful Hebrew saints who said, oh, King, we're not careful to answer you in this matter. Yeah. I'm going to paraphrase here. They said, our Lord, He's going to deliver. We may not survive this fiery furnace, but we're going to be delivered out of your hand. Either He's going to come down from heaven and deliver us, or either we're going to get consumed in this fire and we're going to go be with Jesus. Either way, we ain't worried about you. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, that's how our faith needs to be. Lord, I know you. Lord, I know that I'm going to heaven because of what your Son did. But Lord, I also know that no matter what I'm going through, that you said that you are so faithful that you will help me bear it. And what helping us bear it means that we won't lose the faith. That we won't denounce the Lord. That we won't act in a way that we shouldn't be acting. You understand what I'm saying? That we would keep the faith in such a way. I'm not talking about extreme perseverance here. But I'm talking about that we would continue to walk in a way that we would even before we had the cancer. You understand what I'm saying? The Lord will help us bear it. That's the only way that Apostle Paul was able to sing praises unto the Lord in that Philippian jail cell. And thank y'all for none of y'all coming up to me and saying, you know, Amazing Grace wasn't written until the 1700s. I understand. I understand they weren't singing Amazing Grace, but they were singing praises unto our God. And the only way they were able to do that is because God is faithful. And God blessed them with strength to get through what they were going through. Let me finish this verse and we'll go to one other verse. Look what it says here. There had no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Sometimes the way of escape is just through prayer and constant holding on to the feet of the Lord. I'm not saying the way of escape is always the same way, but I'm going to tell you, if we remain faithful and keep coming to the Lord, He will give you the strength to get through it. I'm going to tell you, if you're going through something that you're like, I just can't handle this. I mean, it doesn't have to be dying. It can be your personal problems. I mean, it could be divorce. It could be church situations. It could be situations with your kids. It could be situations with trying to help take care of somebody. I want to tell you, back in 2004, I was going through nursing school, and I was also exercising the ministry, and nursing school was really beating me up, and I was trying to devote all my time to studying the Word of God, because I didn't start reading the Word of God until 2001, November, and now it's 2004, and it's February, and this stuff is really just piling on to me, and I'm trying to eat it up, and I'm like, I just can't do it, Lord. I can't try to serve you in this capacity and go to nursing school. I'm going to hit the pause button, if you will. And I told my mama, I said, Mama, this Sunday when we go to church, I'm going to tell Brother Jerry not to call upon me anymore, that I ain't going to preach anymore until I graduate nursing school. Well, at the end of services, we went into a surprise conference, and they liberated me. I ain't talking to nobody but my mama. She ain't talking to nobody. And I'm like, what am I supposed to do now? I couldn't handle serving my own church. Now I got to go answer appointments at other people's church. I'm really going to fail nursing school. I graduated bound in glory in my life. I'm not saying that's going to happen to everybody. I'm going to tell you. I said I can't do it.
Right.
God said, let me show you something. You know why? Because God's faithful.
Amen.
God's faithful. Go with me over to 2 Corinthians 12 and we'll wrap this up. By the way, Moses said, I can't. And the Lord said, who made your mouth? 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 7. Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Brothers and sisters, I know the way that a lot of people may take this, and I heard a way on it 7 years ago that changed my whole perspective, and I just want you to look at what the scripture says here. It says, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Now, the way I first was taught this is that the messenger of Satan was given to him to keep him from being prideful. Now, since when is Satan in the business of keeping people from being prideful? Right? Brothers and sisters, how about this? What do we say whenever we leave a really good church meeting? Man, we were lifted up in the Spirit. Man, we were on the mountaintop. We were on Mount Zion. How about the messenger of Satan was tired of seeing Apostle Paul being lifted up in the Spirit? He was tired of seeing Apostle Paul rejoicing in the Lord. He was tired of sending people to whip Apostle Paul and put Apostle Paul in prison, and Apostle Paul still saying, great is thy faithfulness. He was tired of that, and he sent a messenger of Satan to buffet him. And by the way, buffet looks a whole lot like buffet, so I can just picture these little demons eating all over Apostle Paul to try to bring him down. You all see that? I see it. He's like, I don't want you to be up here. I'm going to bring you down. And look what Paul didn't like it. I don't like to be eat on. Look what Paul says. For this thing, I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul says, I felt Satan eating me up. And I begged the Lord three times. I said, Lord, take it away. And God said, my grace is sufficient unto thee. Let me ask you a question. Either it is or it ain't. Amen? I tell you, I was preaching along these lines a couple months ago. And this sister, which I love dearly, I didn't know she had been through all this. And I knew about one thing, but I didn't know about the steady stack. I was preaching a meeting at their church, and she had went through this one thing, and then this other thing, and this other thing, and this other thing, and this other thing. And the person that she usually goes to for spiritual advice wasn't available anymore. So that's another thing. And she said, Brother Danny, I had always told people that whenever they were going through such stuff, I'd always told them, 2 Corinthians 12, His grace is sufficient unto them, for them. And as I was going through this, and it got about to the 8th thing, and it was a lot of stuff. I mean, I was exhausted for her. You know what I mean? I didn't go to the hospital for her, all the stuff she was going through. And she said, as I was going through all this, this week, even Brother Danny, and she said, even this week, I was like, I can't do this. And she said, and the Lord told me, my grace is sufficient unto thee. And she said, I said, no, it's not. Don't tell me that. It's not, it can't be. I can't do it. And she said, and now a day or two later, you come and preach it to me, and it's like I'm saying, oh, yes, it is. I'm going to tell you, whatever you think you can't handle, oh, brothers and sisters, His grace is sufficient unto thee. There ain't nothing that you can go through in this life because you have a faith in God that God cannot bless you, does not have the ability to help you get through it in Him. But don't give up, don't quit praying, and don't quit running unto your high place. Come ahead, brother. I love you, and God bless.
Amen.
Praise Testify.